We have had, there's a couple of changes this morning, so we could bring you the special report there from National Public Radio. Also, another change a little earlier this morning, we heard from Dennis Barron, a professor, head of the English department at the U of I, who was going to be with us for the second hour. And he said he was sorry, but something had come up and he wouldn't be able to do the show. And we said, well, we'll get you on here another day. So in his stead, with a different topic, we asked our station manager, Dan Simeone, to come in and spend a little time with us. This is something that we try to do occasionally. Sometimes it's our emergency fallback position, but we do like to give you a regular opportunity to make comments about the programs that you hear on our stations. And that's why we do these shows. We call them Talk to the Manager. Sometimes we do programs with our AM program director, Jay Pierce. And this has a little bit broader sort of frame because Dan oversees the programs both on WILL AM and FM. So if you have questions, you're sort of wondering why we made particular programming decisions, if you have comments, criticisms, things you like, things you don't, maybe you have some suggestions on how we might do things differently, we're always interested in hearing those. We can't promise that we're going to make everybody happy, but we're certainly interested in what you think about our shows. So this is the opportunity to call in here and talk with our station manager. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And you can give us a call. In fact, we got somebody here getting ready to go right now. Well, thanks very much.
It's good to be here, Dave.
I think been a long time since we've done this. So,
yeah. It's a good time to do it.
All right. Well, a couple of things we thought we could talk about, and I don't know how much this whole occasionally, I guess, when Ed West has been here on the show, we've talked a little bit about antennas.
Right.
And this thing that we were involved in, testing a new kind of antenna. And maybe we could talk about that a little bit this morning, because I think it's pretty interesting and could have, for WILL, could have really important implications if things worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I usually like to talk about things that I think will have, you know, have the prospect of having some direct beneficial effect on listeners, and ultimately this certainly would be in that category. You might recall that when we've talked about this before, we talked about a new kind of AM antenna called a crossed field antenna, which was being tested actually through the Scottish engineering professor that had invented the antenna and an Egyptian graduate student who was working with him on the project, and was actually never tested in this country but had been tested elsewhere and in Egypt, actually. The reason we were interested in this antenna is that it doesn't produce a lot of skywave radiation, which is one of the reasons why AM stations like AM 580 have to reduce power at night because of the interference that's created by the skywave radiation. And this particular type of AM antenna was an antenna that produced very little skywave radiation and much more intense ground wave radiation, and would have allowed us to, if it were tested and approved by the FCC, it would have allowed us to stay at higher power throughout most of our coverage area, even at night. So we were obviously very interested in this. Don Mullally did a lot of investigating. The problem was that we really had a difficult time at the latter points in this process making contact with the inventor and the graduate student that was working with him on the project. We obviously needed their approval to secure rights to test the antenna here, which we were prepared to do. But there were also some disputes involved in terms of who actually owned the rights to the antenna and all of that. Ultimately, we just had a very difficult time making contact with the people involved. And obviously, the distance involved in this is also has also been a factor. In the meantime, we came across another antenna that works on basically the same principle. It's called an EH antenna, and it was invented by a fellow by the name of Robert Hart. And He had been conducting research on this new type of antenna. It's I don't know if you recall our descriptions of the earlier antenna that we were talking about, the crossed field antenna, but it was a rather strange looking kind of antenna. It sort of extended like an umbrella configuration, 40 feet in the air, had almost a sci-fi look to it. Well, this antenna is also a little strange looking. It consists of a couple of cones with their apexes together. It has a couple of different configurations. Another one is a couple of cylinders on a stern, sort of like if you consider two popsicles on the same stick. That's sort of what it would look like. And this antenna, again, produces very little high angle radiation or skywave radiation. And it's been much easier for us to get in touch with Mr. Hart, and we have secured rights for Mr. Hart to do some testing of this new antenna. And so we're working on that, and we have to get experimental test authority from the FCC, which requires an application, which we have submitted. And we're hoping that if we can get the FCC's approval, we can test this antenna and get basically the same results if it were approved as we would have gotten from the crossed field antenna that we talked about earlier. And again, the real benefit to listeners is that, and this is probably the number one issue for a lot of our AM audience who live outside the immediate area, is I wish I could get your AM station at night when we have to reduce power. Using an antenna of this type would allow us to stay on at high power in the evening hours and at night so that we would be able to serve listeners outside of the immediate area 24 hours a day with a strong signal. So that's where we're at in this process, and we're hoping that we can get FCC approval. Again, this is a long-term proposition because we're probably talking about a 2 to 3 year project here. To get all of the approvals, to do the construction involved, and to do all the testing, and then get final FCC approval to actually use the technology. But it's interesting, and it is something that we think would substantially improve our service to our audience, and so we're going to continue to work on it. And Don Mullally has been working hard in securing the information, and Ed West, our chief engineer, in securing the FCC approvals required to actually do some testing on this new antenna. So that's where we're at with that.
Well, that's really encouraging because it seems like that all the time I've been working here, the question that we probably get more than anything else is people asking that question about, do you think there's ever any chance that you will not have to power down at sunset? Is there any possibility? And I think over all of these years, the answer pretty much has been, it doesn't look real good that might ever change. But if this antenna works the way that we think it works, and the inventor thinks that it works, maybe, and it's not going to happen next week, but maybe that will be the answer to that question.
It certainly could be, and we also, that's one of the reasons why we pursued live streaming so intensively for the AM station on the Internet, was that this would give listeners at least one other option when we're at low power to be able to hear the station over the Internet.
Right. Well, we are here talking this morning with our station manager, Dan Simeone, oversees things here both AM and FM. If you have questions, comments, concerns, criticisms about the programs you hear on WILL AM or FM, you can call us and tell us about it. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. First caller is in Champaign on line one. Hello.
So I'm glad you mentioned the streaming audio. That's how I listen to your program at work. My question was, I was just wondering whether or not you had any plans in the future of accepting questions for your guests via email, because although it's easy for me to listen to you over the Internet, at times I can't get to a phone or I'm busy doing other things, and I was wondering if you were ever going to take questions over email for your guests, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right. Very good. We have talked about doing that, and I think that we are going to try. I think that the only thing that's holding us back is figuring out logistically how we'd work it out here in terms of the hardware that we have in the studio. We've been here now for a while, but the dust hasn't quite settled from the moving in process. And one of the things that I think we're going to be doing here pretty soon is doing a little rearranging of how things are in this studio where we do Morning Edition and Focus 580. And computers and computer screens is going to be a big part of it. So this is kind of a long way of answering the question. I think the answer to the question is yes, we want to try that, and we hope maybe sometime next year we'll get it set up so that we can do that. I think the only concern that I have, and also that Celeste has in the afternoon, is that it sort of depends on how many emails there are and how long they are. It could get to be real difficult, because when you're doing the show, you're juggling a lot of stuff. You're dealing with the interview. You're dealing with callers. You're trying to listen to what the person is saying to you that you're interviewing. You're trying to think about where you're going. And that adds one more element, and it's possible that it could be kind of difficult. So I think we're willing to try it and sort of see how it works, and maybe sometime next year we'll be doing that. We have somebody else here to talk to. This is in Champaign. It's line number 2.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi.
I just wanted to commend you all for your Saturday and Sunday radio programs. They're really excellent. And I also wanted to comment that I usually don't follow sports too much, but Bill Littlefield's Only a Game is just great. I like that. And Gray Matters is superb. And on Sunday afternoon, I think that your Michael Feldman show, he's much funnier than Letterman or Leno, and more people ought to really realize that. And let's see, what else? So my husband listens to the morning show with the Sound Money. He listens to that every week. And I just wanted to let you know that possibly you ought to maybe advertise those Saturday and Sunday programs, because they're excellent, and many people may not be aware of them.
Well, thanks very much. I will pass those comments along to Jay Pierce, the program director for the AM station. We do try to promote many of those programs throughout the course of, well, at least the latter part of most weeks on the air, so that people are aware of them. But we don't do that much outside promotion of the programs, simply because our promotion budget is very limited, we try to use those dollars as efficiently as we can. But I agree with you. I think there are a number of programs on weekends that are certainly worth listening to, and would encourage people to sample Gray Matters, Only a Game, and Sound Money, and some of the other programs we have on weekends that I think are really worthwhile.
Okay, the only negative point I have is that for years I haven't really appreciated As It Happens from CBC, and I don't know how much you all pay for that, but it can't compare with the NPR and All Things Considered. So if you're looking to cut back things, at least you have my vote that I wouldn't be unhappy if you were to drop As It Happens.
Okay. I would expect somewhere in this hour that we'll hear from some from a few fans of As It Happens. But actually, that show is very cost efficient from that perspective. We really don't pay all that much for it. The CBC makes it available to us rather inexpensively. It's actually distributed by Public Radio International from the CBC. They negotiate an agreement with the CBC to make the program available to public radio stations throughout the country. And there's no doubt that the style of the program is very different from the style that you would hear on traditional public radio news programs like Morning Edition or All Things Considered. And sometimes that stylistic difference is rubs people the wrong way, but other people find that it's just another perspective,
right,
on news events that isn't generally available in this country, and that usually piques our interest in it.
That's true. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, thanks for the call. Other questions, comments about programs that you hear on WILL AM FM. That's what we're doing here. Sort of an impromptu edition of the show we call Talk to the Manager, and our guest is Dan Simeone. He's station manager for WILL Radio. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. We really need to give As It Happens, it's due, though. In fact, because As It Happens was a program that was on before All Things Considered was conceived, and I think that really All Things Considered was modeled on As It Happens.
I think you're right. For many, many years, the CBC had been doing I don't know how many people recall the older version of CBC Sunday Morning, which was on for many years on this station sort of transformed itself somewhat over the last few years into a slightly different kind of program. They don't do as many radio documentaries as they used to, and I always thought that was sort of their high point on that program. They did just some outstanding documentary work for a number of years when we first started broadcasting that program. And I think in many ways they did sort of set the tone for some of what people hear these days on NPR and other public radio news programs. So, but of course, the CBC has gone through its own transformations in recent years due to budget cuts and other changes. So
they've lost a lot of staff, a lot of reporters, and I think that they are doing much less. Mrs. Inge and I, we travel to Canada in the fall and have every year for quite a few years, and that's something that we've certainly noticed because we listen to the CBC while we're there and talk to the people there about how much the programming has been cut back. And it's happened both in radio and in television. They've laid off a lot of people. They're not producing as much programming as they did. And now they do a kind of a magazine show that's mostly in-studio interviews that runs in the mornings during the week, which is a fine show, but you don't see the kind of location stuff and radio documentary. And then I think on the weekends what they're doing is they're just kind of recycling that material from this show that they do during the week in the mornings. They even do some of that at night. So they're really getting a lot of mileage out of a particular show and particular set of interviews. So there, I think sometimes we should, when we talk about the difficulties that public broadcasting in this country has gone through, we're probably in better shape than they are in Canada. We're suddenly full with calls.
Okay,
let's go at it. And I think the first one will be Southeastern Illinois and Line 4. Hello.
Yes, I would like to put in an early vote against email, or if you have it at all, kept to an absolute minimum. Because, first place, the listeners can't hear the person asking the question. And second, to me, what makes this program unique among talk shows is the extended dialogues between knowledgeable callers and the guest. I mean, and there's no chance for follow up or interplay between the caller and the guest in an email. And in fact, evidently I must be in the minority, but I sort of regret the fact that you've been sort of cutting people back to a single question and or maybe two short ones. And it sort of makes this show just like every other call-in show. I mean, I listen to it enjoy even when I don't agree with them. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the some of the regular callers that call in, and I miss the ones that seem to drop out. I wonder why they do. I mean, I've wondered all through the Microsoft thing what the independent programmer that was on was calling in for a long time on the program, what his opinion is and whatever happened to him. And during the Reagan years, there was a woman, an elderly woman. I'd swear that woman, instead of coffee or tea for breakfast, had a cup of bile. But she was really, strong against the Reagan, but I miss her. I don't know what happened to her. I mean, whether, last time I heard her on, she was called in to ask about how to minimize the tax due on the sale of a home, so she may have had to close her home and go live with somebody else or something. But I like the callers as much as the guests, and just email. There's no chance of you don't know. Well, it's just completely anonymous, and So I'll get off and you've got others. But that was is my feeling on that subject.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the comment. I guess I'm still I'm interested in giving it a try to see how it goes. And because I think that it would be a way for some people to participate in the show who would not do so otherwise, who would not call. Maybe they couldn't or they wouldn't. I think that would be good for the program. And as I say, I guess I'd be interested in giving it a call and giving it a try and see how it goes. And the thing about the callers is we've gone back and forth on this over the years. I still would maintain that we give callers more airtime than any other show I've ever heard. But that also, consistently over years, it's the thing that people complain about most, that we let callers go on too long. I have tried to tug in the reins just a little bit over the past couple of years, particularly, I guess I'll be honest and say, particularly with people who call a lot, like every day, maybe twice every day, because they get an awful lot of time. But we still, I think, want to sort of err on the side of trying to give people lots of time and plenty of time and for there to be some dialogue. And I'm here, I'm repeating myself. I guess I would maintain I've never heard any other show that would give the callers as much time.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's one of those things you just have to try to achieve a balance with, and it can be difficult because people feel both ways about it.
Yeah. And it also has, you know, one sort of controlling factor is at any given point in the program, how many people you have waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I try
sure.
to get in as many people as possible, try not to make people wait. So it's always every day is always a little bit different. Well, let us talk with some more people. Urbana is next, line one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
I don't know if you're aware, sometimes on when you call various different businesses, they'll put you onto hold and you'll get a radio station in the background. And I don't know if WILL has ever considered with any of your stations contracting that use for your services, because I think I would find it much more interesting listening to your program than some of the other talk programs locally that I've heard on when I'm on hold. Just an idea.
Yeah, well, that has come up before, and we have to be a little cautious about that because although we don't play a lot of music, for instance, on the AM station, we do occasionally use music in various programs, and interests that own the rights to the music on behalf of composers and performers,
copyright,
yeah, are very watchful of such uses of their material, particularly if it in some way is used to enhance the profit of a private business or corporation.
I see.
And so sometimes it gets to be a little tricky. So we have to be careful about the extent to which we advocate that. How other stations deal with that particular issue, I don't know.
I've heard talk programs and that.
Yeah, yeah. And there are, places that do use music on hold from radio stations, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But it is tricky in that sense because there are rights issues involved.
That's not something that had crossed my mind, but thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, thank you. The next caller is in Charleston, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi. I'm calling. I wanted to challenge the comment about As It Happens, because in our household in Charleston, we love As It Happens, and it actually is very frustrating because it comes when your power is going down towards the end of the program, and sometimes we have trouble hearing it, and we've been known to travel in the car a little bit longer to hear it. We get reception better in the car at times. So in the interest of fuel economy, we would like to for you to be sure to continue that program. We like it very much. The second comment I have is that recently during our protracted election process, you ran an edition of Talk of the Nation, and I was wondering how that happened to occur and why that decision was made. We like Talk of the Nation. We've lived elsewhere and like that, but it's a dilemma because we also like the program generated by WILL itself. So we also like Diane Rehm, for example, but very much like the local produced programming as well. But so I'd be interested in that. I am going to have to hang up, but I wanted to endorse support for As It Happens, the Canadian programming. Thank you very much.
Right. Sure. Thanks for your comment, and I will note your support for As It Happens. Occasionally, NPR will make an edition of Talk of the Nation available to all public radio stations, whether they purchase the program series or not. Usually, it is a program that is somehow tied to an important news story, as was the case with the program that you refer to and the whole vote count issue. When those programs become available, and they do make them available to all stations as a part of a sort of special news service, then we are authorized to broadcast the programs, and we will often do so, depending on the nature of the particular show involved. We do not purchase the series, Talk of the Nation, because we... at least at this point, you know, we have always felt that that Focus 580 is really an exceptional program and does many of the same things and can often deal with issues that are important to our audience that may not necessarily be on the national agenda, and also give our audience the opportunity to really participate actively in the program and without having to compete with a nationwide radio audience. And we've always felt that, you know, for years before Talk of the Nation even existed, Focus 580 was doing many of the same things. Certainly, we feel as well as Talk of the Nation has, and so we've opted to stay with our show. It doesn't mean we couldn't broadcast Talk of the Nation at some other time during the day, but it is a fairly expensive show, and that's of course always one of the other issues involved in that kind of a decision. And, you know, would it be worth broadcasting it at some other time of day on a tape delayed basis if you really couldn't participate, if our audience couldn't participate directly in the program? And so there are a variety of reasons why we don't take the show on a regular basis. But you will occasionally hear one of the Talk of the Nation programs on the air on AM 580 when it is particularly topical. And when, on that basis, it's made available to all of the NPR member stations, which does happen occasionally.
All right. We have other callers. Let's go to, line number 3. That's Philo. Hello.
I'd like to make a couple of comments, maybe directed toward Mr. Ainge. I listen to your show daily, and what I think that concerns me most often is I think you're need to show more life, not so matter-of-fact, not so mechanical. You need to loosen up. To me, you're just it's like strict to the point, and we can't bend any. And then you listen to Celeste Quinn in the afternoon, and I almost wonder sometimes she's nodding off. She hears this sigh. Sometimes she's talking to mine. She goes, oh, yeah, and it just shows no life. I mean, you need to get into your interviews more, I think. And then it's the same way with Carl Caldwell. He's just too mechanical when he cocks and stuff. And then the last thing about David Inge that upsets me is oftentimes when you have a guest that who calls and have a caller call in who does not disagree particularly with the view being presented, you seem to be awful short with them and oftentimes get a little bit, or at least you sound a little irritable toward them. And I don't like that because, after all, it's what the call-in's for, is to express views. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, I'll take that to heart, I guess, and try and be a little bit more relaxed. We'll give Celeste some more coffee before she does her show.
Well, I think the other thing I'll say about that, David, and thanks very much for your comments. I mean, I think you know, we are interested, of course, in comments that are you know, that give us things to think about in terms of the way we do things. I think it's also important not to mistake you know, what is a real intent on the part of, I'm sure, both David and Celeste to be really fair and not to necessarily go out of their way to express personal points of view on the air. There are an awful lot of talk programs these days that are built on the views and ideas and opinions of the hosts. And there's plenty of that on the air throughout commercial talk radio. These programs are really designed to help enlighten on important issues and to try to exchange a variety of opinions on those issues. And I think in many ways, David and Celeste are facilitators in that process, and I think they do an exceptional job in that respect. Perhaps at times, you know, you would say, well, you know, it would be nice if they would express an opinion or an idea of their own. And I think occasionally they do. But generally, the programs are really designed to create a forum for discussion, intelligent discussion, rather than, you know, just a podium for the host to express their own ideas and opinions. So while occasionally that may come across to some people as disinterest, I certainly don't think it's a matter of disinterest or you know, lack of involvement as much as it is, you know, an idea, the idea of trying to facilitate intelligent discussion and create a forum for the exchange of ideas and opinions. Because sometimes if the host is very outspoken on a particular point of view and that sort of thing, it tends to alienate some people and really discourage involvement by people who have contrary opinions. And I think that's one of the things that really makes the program worthwhile, is that it does provide a forum for open discussion of ideas and opinions. And I think our hosts try to be facilitators in that process.
Well, the truth is that I'm really a dull guy. That's what it is. I mean, you know, it's my real personality, or lack thereof, that's coming across.
Anyone who's listened to your show for many years realizes you couldn't. It's not possible for you to be a dull person and have hosted this show for as long as you have.
All right, let's get at least one more caller. Line number one in Champaign. Hello.
Let me first say that I'm kind of a big David Inch fan. I listen to you, and often you will make a comment or ask a question that I'm thinking I would like to hear asked or the comment made, so I appreciate you. But the reason for my call is, I think I know the answer to it, is probably a budget reason, but I really miss no NPR news at the bottom of the hour, particularly in the evening hours. And I think it's available, but you probably just don't carry it for budget reasons, is that right?
It's really not a budgetary matter, to be perfectly honest with you. It's more, well, first of all, the newscasts, news summaries that NPR does at the half hour are really only available within the news programs, Morning Edition and All Things Considered. They do not make any news available through the rest of the day on the half hour. The rest of the day, there are newscasts at 1 minute past the hour that NPR makes available to us. So it's a question of, you know, carrying or not carrying the national news summaries during Morning Edition and All Things Considered on the half hour. What we generally have done is to preempt those summaries for regional, state and regional news, both within Morning Edition and during All Things Considered. And but it really doesn't have anything to do with budget. Basically, since we purchase both Morning Edition and All Things Considered, we're entitled to broadcast anything that is available within those two programs. In a sense, we're already paying for it. Although I should say that the newscasts on the half hour within those shows are abbreviated compared to the newscasts you hear at the top of the hour. And generally, the stories are shorter. Really, it's one of our only opportunities to be able to do state and regional news summaries, which we do on a regular basis, and we know people have some interest in. So that's really the rationale for it.
We're going to have to stop here with our on-air version, but there are a couple of people who are holding, and I don't know if you want to try and take them off the air. Okay. If the callers there would like, if they can hold on, Dan will take their calls off the air. We're always interested in what you think of the programs. You may call us. We have the listener comment line. You may send email. You may send conventional mail. Whatever you like, we try very hard to respond to your questions and concerns, and I'm sure another time Dan will come back and we'll do this some more.
Sure. It's good to be here.